Well, good afternoon. We're going to get started here with Fat Brands. I have the founder and current chairman, Andy Wiederhorn, with me. Has some questions that I wanted to ask, namely as it pertains to some interesting information that you guys filed yesterday on your upcoming spinoff, of Twin Peaks Twin Hospitality. But before that, Andy, for any investors here that may be new to the story, if you could just walk through a few minutes, kind of give us a background on who your company is, what you guys do.
Thanks, Alton. Sure, let me just give you, quick overview of Fat Brands. We're a global restaurant franchising company, which means that it's an asset-light business model, mostly predominantly franchised, about 92% franchised today. We have a big organic growth component. We have 2,300 restaurants open, but another 1,000 or more already sold to franchisees with commitments to build more stores, so very dynamic organic growth. Generally, we take advantage of the synergies of operating all the brands on one platform with one legal department, one accounting, one purchasing, things like that. And we've been doing this for quite a long time. We bought our first brand in 2003. That was Fatburger, when there were only about 40 restaurants, half company owned and half franchise. So we've made 17 additional acquisitions, 18 brands in total today. And we've acquired a strong management team, partially through acquisition of brands, which has been interesting. We operate today in about 35 countries, almost all the US states. Again, 92% franchised, 80% of our restaurants are in the US. We have more than 700 individual franchise groups that run those 2,300 restaurants. And about a third of them are multi-unit operators operating anywhere from 2 to 75 restaurants. No one more than that, so no concentration risk, and then quite a few mom and pops throughout the system. And again, most significantly is that development pipeline where we can grow by almost another 50% just organically by getting our existing franchisees to build more stores. And that's something that we really focus on, is the health of our franchise system. And in 2024, we sold 250 more units, so that number grew up here to over 1,100 now. And in 2023, we sold 225. So we sold more stores last year than the year before. And I always think that's a good measurement of a healthy franchise system. When your existing franchisees are buying more restaurants and committing to build more, that means that things are working for them. So that's an important piece. We have our business organized into five different silos. A QSR silo, so traditional QSR like Fazoli's or some of our cookies and ice cream brands. We have a fast casual business like Johnny Rockets or Fatburger or Round Table Pizza, which is quite significant in scale. A casual dining brand with Hurricane Grill and Wings, Buffalo's Cafe, things like that. And then a polished casual segment, that's Smoky Bones and Twin Peaks, where you have much higher average unit volumes and higher alcohol sales. And then finally, we have a manufacturing operation that makes the cookie dough or the pretzel mix and sells it to our franchisees for Great American Cookie, Pretzel Maker, Marble Slab Ice Cream, any of the co-branded units. Very profitable segment within our portfolio. Of our $90 to $100 million of EBITDA, the factory business is about $15 million on about $40 million in production, so a very strong margin there, and a tremendous amount of excess capacity in our factory. We're about 35 or 40% utilized today with room to grow. Fat Brands does just about everything for the franchisee but run the restaurant, so we'll help them with PR, with training, with site selection, with the design of their restaurants, with their digital strategy, their media strategy, supply chain. And then what's really interesting is we're big on coaching them on their financial planning, like really understanding the metrics of their restaurants. And I don't mean just from a P&L standpoint at the end of the month or 3 weeks after the end of the month, but really on a daily basis, making sure our operators understand what their numbers should look like every day. Because you don't want to be 3 weeks past the end of the month and realizing you're losing money and your labor's off and your food cost is off. You got to know it every day. And so we really coach them on that, and I think that's something that differentiates us a bit. We've made a number of acquisitions in the last couple years, like Smoky Bones to convert the majority of the stores into Twin Peaks, like Nestle's Toll House Cafe by Chip, where we were able to convert those locations into Great American Cookie locations and then get the cookie dough manufacturing add on to our factory, so sort of two bites of the apple. And those are the kind of strategic things that we're looking for in the coming year or two, is really any kind of bolt-on acquisition that's very strategic, not just to own another brand. And that's really the general overview of Fat Brands. I'll come back to this next slide in a little bit.
Great. Thank you, Andy, for that background. So moving on to the upcoming transaction as it pertains to Twin Peaks, I guess, one, what was the reasoning behind doing a spinoff versus a traditional IPO? And then on top of that, what would you ideally like to do with the proceeds from that transaction as far as bringing down debt on your balance sheet for FatBrands?
Yeah, I mean, we've often said that if you look at our $1.2 billion of debt, securitized debt, if you look at the value of Twin Peaks or our manufacturing facility or those two things together, you could basically sell those businesses, it would pay off all the debt, and the rest of the business would be debt-free and a huge amount of cash flow, $50 to $75 million of free cash flow. When we looked at the IPO market for Twin Peaks and then just the private equity market, we felt like the highest and best value for the Twin Peaks brand could be realized by taking it public rather than trying to go sell it in a PE environment. And part of that's because of the alcohol content, some of the ESG issues and things that just, it's not perfectly made for private equity like some of the other brands. So we went down that path, and of course the IPO market has been extremely difficult the last few years for restaurant brands. And that led us to the conclusion that let's spin it out publicly and get it trading and have it ready to take advantage when that window opens of a true equity market for a follow-on offering or secondary offering, one of those two things. And so by doing this spin-off, which we can go into the details of in a second, it really gets Twin Peaks up and running and ready to go as a separate public company. It's a business that we kept independent. We didn't integrate it with FatBrands when we acquired it, so we kept it ready to go with its own management team, which is outstanding, and some of them are here today, and they've presented separately yesterday. And so I think it's really well positioned that way, and then it can raise capital and pay down debt, which is a key objective of FatBrands to delever this year. And so spinning the business out with its own debt takes that debt out of the FatBrands portfolio, and having what'll be 80-something percent of the shares still owned and on our balance sheet, it gives us the opportunity to sell some of those over the next couple years and pay down some more debt. And hopefully the shares will continue to appreciate and everybody wins.
Great, thank you. And then you have some interesting slides in your press release yesterday morning. I think it is on pages 11 and 12. Maybe kind of walk through, what are the main metrics that you had, I believe, a third-party group go through as far as, estimating the value for the FatBrands and the upcoming Twin Peaks businesses.
Right. I think what's really important to understand the FatBrands story, and something that I spoke about a few minutes ago in terms of the value of some of our assets versus our debt, is just to tell that story. And I think the Twin Peaks listing really does that. And so to list Twin Peaks, FatBrands today has 14,000 shareholders. We own 100% of Twin Peaks. We're taking 5% of our ownership of Twin Peaks and dividending that to the FatBrands shareholders. So if you're a FatBrands shareholder on January 27th, the record date, you'll get a special dividend, basically like 0.15 shares for every FatBrands shares you own. You own 100,000 shares, you get 15,000 shares of Twin Peaks stock. And that will create 14,000 Twin Peaks shareholders, just like 14,000 FatBrands shareholders with your pro rata share. So that makes us qualify for all the listing requirements on the NASDAQ and good to go as a public company. Okay, so in order to do that dividend, it makes sense to do an overall valuation of the business and show that you have the ability to make a dividend like that. And so we had the entire business valued as well as just the Twin Peaks value. And they came up with a range of value for the 18 brands we own of around $3.4 billion, let's say, average case. And then from there, you'd subtract the value of the debt that we have, call it $1.2 billion or $1.3 billion, and you end up with that $2.2 billion equity value. So enterprise value, 3.4, debt of 1.2, equity value of 2.2. That turns out to be about $100 a share, and FatBrands is trading at $5 a share. So whether the value you agree with or not, or it's anywhere close, it's definitely not $5. And I think this just sort of shows the sum of the parts here and gives a roadmap to the growth of these brands since we made these acquisitions in 2021 on top of the brands we already owned, and the pipeline of new stores that we've signed up and have been paid for and committed to build. It's another $50 million of EBITDA on top of the business we already have today if those stores open. And so I think that helps with the valuation, and it helps kind of give a roadmap to an investor of, I can play the Twin Peaks growth story, which is an amazing story of success, and going from 80-something restaurants when we bought it a few years ago to now 115 open and more than 100 sold. Or the fat brand side of things, where you can say, look at how the individual brands have grown, and maybe they'll unlock more value next year with another spin out or something different. If you just look at Twin Peaks, this is a business that we bought in 2021 for $300 million. We put approximately another $100 million into it, including the acquisition of Smoky Bones. So, $400 million basis. And then we grew the business by almost 50% during that period of time of just number of units, 80-something to 115. And that pipeline was developed. So the way you get from 400 to $1.4 billion is really all that unit growth and the additional stores we built and the future pipeline. And that's just an example of unlocking value or creating value and then unlocking it with the listing.
Great, thank you. Well, on that topic of the huge success you've had in growing the Twin Peaks brand, would you be interested in acquisition opportunities like that going forward for the base Fat Brands business?
Yeah, so I think the way I look at it today is there are definitely bolt-on acquisition opportunities for Twin Peaks, whether they're conversions or any other kind of similar brand that makes sense in that sports bar category, polished casual dining, that might have some different demographics or additional conversion opportunities. We definitely have our hands full with the conversions we have now for the next couple of years, but there's opportunities to grow that business, not just organically, but also through more acquisitions. And on the Fat Brand side of the table, I think we will continue to look for things that are more strategic. We're not really looking for turnarounds. I feel like I'd rather pay 10 times for a brand with the wind at its back and a pipeline that we can execute on and cross-sell to our franchisees than turnarounds that are, and there's a lot of turnarounds for sale at very interesting prices. They're just not really generating cash. And you got to bring a shovel and you're going to be digging for a long time and it's kind of a distraction. So I feel like where we are today with the pipeline we have, I'd rather do bolt-on acquisitions that are strategic, like we get more cookie dough manufacturing. It helps grow another brand. Maybe it fills out our big burger category. It may be something in the pizza category that just takes it to another level. We don't own a coffee brand. We don't own a salad brand. We don't own a dessert brand, where we could always plug those holes, but it'd have to be really compelling to for us to move in that direction.
Got it. Great, makes sense. And so, if you kind of take out Twin Peaks, looking at your other over 15 different concepts that you own, which handful do you think had the best growth prospects from a comparable sales and or with new unit growth perspective?
Yeah, really good question. So that 1,100 store pipeline is not across all 18 brands. It's like six or seven of the brands are the high growth brands. We have Roundtable Pizza, Johnny Rockets, Fatburger, the cookies and ice cream brands, of course Twin Peaks as well, Fazoli's as well. That sort of makes up the high growth brands. It's generally not your casual dining brands. It's on the QSR fast casual segment or the polished casual where Twin Peaks is. And it's nothing that's different than you would expect in today's environment. And part of that is if you look at Twin Peaks with just outstanding AUVs, right? You have sort of the legacy portfolio in the $5 to $6 million range and the newer stores in the $7 to $8 million range, some as high as $9 to $12 million in Florida. If you're gonna spend all that money to build a restaurant, you're gonna wanna build a Twin Peaks rather than just an ordinary casual dining restaurant. Generally speaking, if you already own a bunch, maybe you'll add on. But otherwise, if you're gonna spend the money, you'd rather get the higher AUV, right? The higher AUV just lifts all boats at the same time.
Great, thank you. As you kind of think about, like your franchise versus company owned mix, you have given some numbers out there publicly, but could you just remind us what your ideal mix would be long term, both for your base Fat Brands business as well as for Twin Peaks?
Yeah, so for Twin Peaks, it's about 70-30 today, on its way to 75-25. These conversions of Smoky Bones, there's about 30 of them that make the cut as a convertible store. The ones that don't make the cut, usually it's because we already have a Twin Peaks nearby, or there's landlord restrictions on the amount of alcohol that can be sold in that location. So, or some lease negotiations that didn't go well. So on that basis, we'll probably stay in that 70 to 75% range for a while because about 10 of those 30 are in corporate markets, and the other 20 are in franchise markets that are either taken for or we think that they will be a franchise market, could be some corporate there. So I think that keeps us in that you know, 70 to 75% range for a while. I'd ultimately like to see us get to 80% because we'll get a better multiple as a business for that if we can get to 80 and stay above 80, but that'll take a little while. On the fat side of things, we're at 92% now with 200 corporate stores out of 2,300 stores, and of course the pipeline of another 1,100. If 100 of those stores move with Twin Peaks into its own vehicle here, that really takes us down to under 100 company-owned stores. 57 of those are Fazoli's, and we're going out in the market to refranchise those stores, probably as a single trade to a large operator, and convert that to 100% franchise system. And that leaves us with a few hot dogs on a stick, which I don't care if we keep or sell. They're tiny and easy to operate. And it takes us up into the 98, 99% franchise model, which is right where I want to be.
Got it. Got it. Great. And you know, I'd be interested to hear, just because you have obviously, you know, multiple concepts, you know, quick service, casual, fast casual, you know, how do you see, or what is the general sentiment from your franchisees moving into 2025 from, you know, a consumer demand and, you know, just from a peer, you know, kind of how they view the economics of, you know, the various models with the different concepts that you own?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have seen throughout 24 the consumer trade down. The QSR consumer hit a wall, and frequency is affected by that. You see traffic everywhere that has issues. I think the consumer's full on price, and I think the consumer's demanding value, the value proposition of, you know, if I'm going to have to pay this price, which is already more than I want to pay, why should I come back? And that message has been the guest experience. You've got to deliver a guest experience that supports the value, and not to pick on our friends at Starbucks, but, you know, if it's a $5 or $6 cup of coffee, it better be worth it. It better be an experience because you can get coffee for less. And I think it's that sort of example of, if you're going to come into one of our restaurants and you're going to deal with the price inflation that you have to deal with and we have to take advantage of for maintaining margin, it's got to be a guest experience that's memorable. The food's got to be good. Service has to be good. The environment. And that's really, I hear that from the customer. From the franchisees, you hear that financing is harder than usual. Rates are still high. You know, I think we all hoped that rates would come down this year by a couple hundred basis points. I think that's in question now as to how much rates will drop, especially with, you know, spending that probably needs to be done by the new administration. So I think that we'll continue to see inflationary pressures that'll pressure price. And I think the franchisees are nervous about that. I think they're cautiously optimistic that, you know, that rising tide will lift all boats again. But I think the jury's still out on whether, you know, the consumer gets finicky in different pockets.
Got it, got it. You know, and then back to my question about, you know, kind of, you know, which of your brands are, you know, performing the best. As far as the franchisee demand to build, I assume Twin Peaks is probably at the top, but, you know, kind of walk through, you know, which brands you think that have the strongest demand for either existing and or new franchisees to build.
Sure. I mean, the Twin Peaks, what's so special about the Twin Peaks model is it's a small group of franchisees. You've got a couple dozen franchisees, multi-unit operators for the most part, that have a development schedule. They want to build more stores. They're cash flow positive, so they can reinvest their money. And these are expensive stores to build. What used to be $5.5 million, including the land to build, is now 7 or 8. And that's, you know, big jump more in the equipment side of things and some of the labor than it is on the real estate. But, you know, and of course cap rates. But I think in terms of demand to build, we've sold, and that 1,100 store pipeline includes a lot of Fatburgers, a lot of Johnny Rockets, a lot of Round Table pizzas, and a lot of Fazoli's and cookies and ice cream, those snack brands. And so, you know, there's demand to build those stores. They're, you know, are rolling into 2025. We're seeing nice positive same store sales uplifts, even despite the crazy weather and other nonsense that we're all dealing with. From a weather perspective, and, you know, we're comping over a very bad 2024 January and probably Q1, so hopefully that helps us all a little bit. But, you know, we have a very active development schedule. We'll target between 100 and 125 new stores in 2025. We built 90-something, 93 in 2024. Some of them slipped. Again, financing's hard. The permitting stuff is better, but not completely solved. You know, equipment sourcing's better. Now, I don't know what the dislocation of the tens of thousands of people in California is going to do to the construction market and the contractors and subcontractors rushing to that market. Now, we're talking about commercial versus residential, but they're all going to be opportunists and try to get whatever business they can get. So I don't know how much that's going to affect us, all of the industry, in terms of new store development when you have that kind of demand in California.
Got it. Got it. Great. Thank you for that color. You know, I wanted to ask you, kind of going back to your debt, 1-2-ish, range, could you just kind of walk through the numbers again on how much of that will stay with Fat Brands, how much is going with the upcoming Twin Peaks spinoff, and then, sort of ideally in the long term, where you'd like to see those debt levels go to?
Yeah. So we just refinanced $400 million of debt at Twin Peaks with Jefferies and completed that deal ahead of this spinoff listing. We did that in November. And now that debt will leave the brand. I mean, as long as we own more than 80%, it gets consolidated for financial statement purposes, but it's always been separate debt tied to that brand. But shortly, when our ownership, either through new share issuance or we sell some shares, takes us below 80, you'll really see it. It won't be on the balance sheet anymore, and here we'll sit with $900 million of Twin Peaks stock, right, instead. So that number goes from $1.2 billion to $800 million or $780 million right away. And our goal will be, we'll either raise common equity, we'll sell some of our Twin Peaks shares to pay down that debt further. We really want to de-lever. We borrowed all this money to make these acquisitions a few years ago. Rates were low. We locked the money in for a long time at that rate. Those rates roll. For the most part, the rest of the debt starts to roll in 2026. A little bit of it for Fazoli's this year, but I think we'll extend that to 2026. And so we have some time, but I think that we'll refinance all the remaining debt after we sell the Fazoli stores to franchisees. In sometime this year, we probably won't wait till 2026, but I'd like to capture as much of a rate reduction as possible. But we don't know what that is, and so we're, at some point we'll have to make a move and deal with it.
Great, thank you. And then I guess the last question, I just want to ask about store conversions. You guys have done a lot of that, obviously, with the Smoky Bones acquisition and converting a lot of those over to Twin Peaks. How much time does that save from a, start to build standpoint? And, are conversions, something that the base Fat Brands and or Twin Peaks would look to do, in addition to what you've already got planned going
forward? Sure. So second generation restaurant space is the best, right? You're not building the bathroom or the grease trap and some of that stuff. More than 75% of the Twin Peaks that are out there in their system today are converted. We love to see second generation Fatburgers, Johnny Rockets, Fazoli's, whatever it is, especially not having to go get the permits for a drive-through because it already has that. And you know how hard drive-throughs can be in some communities to permit. So that's a big, there's a big focus on that. But on the conversion time, for example, if you're building a Twin Peaks ground up, it could be 18 to 24 months to find the land, buy it, get it permitted, get it built, the whole thing. If you're doing a conversion, it's 9 months. And the team's quite experienced at that. They've done so many conversions. They have their own real estate team, their own architecture team and construction design team. So very, very efficient at that. It's a little bit more complicated with some of the other brands because there's all different shapes and sizes, right? Twin Peaks has a very focused model on that, 7 to 10,000 foot building, trying to squeeze in two bars, good parking, good visibility, all of those things where, you could be in line if you're a Fatburger or Johnny Rockets, you could be in a mall or in a casino, things like that where, it's not so much about the conversion time as it is just how do you fit that, square peg in a round hole sometimes.
Got it. Great. Well, I think we'll stop there. Thank you so much, Andy, for your time.
Great. Anybody wants to come to a breakout session, it's at 2:30 in the Coquina Ballroom. And we're not going to do Q&A here, but we'll do it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.